Whether you're 10 or whether you're 90, every single one of us is on a spiritual journey. Every one of us. You can maybe relate to Haley and ignore God and pretend that he doesn't exist in your life or in the universe or in this world. Or maybe you can relate to Laurel and Laurel's taking on Christianity maybe because of a relationship in your life, your parents or a spouse or a friend. But the Bible is clear that the relationship, that our spiritual journey is between us as individuals in God. Not as part of a family, not as part of a relationship, not part of a social group, not even as part of a church. It's between each individual and God, the one who created the universe. That he made us to be in relationship with him. He's created us to interact with us, to be in community with us. But we have desires, if we're honest, that are independent of God. We want what's best for us a lot of the time. And those selfish behaviors come from the sinful nature that's inside of us. And this sinful nature isn't because we desire these things that we want for ourselves. We sin because of the sinful nature that's been handed down to us from generation, that we're honest things all the way back to the very first people that walked this earth in Adam and Eve. See, God created Adam and Eve to be in community, in relationship with him. He gave them perfection, living in the Garden of Eden, gave them everything that they needed, and only had one thing for them, is to don't eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. But that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to know everything. They wanted to be powerful. They wanted to be in control of every aspect in their life. Not really different than all of us in this room today. And they disobeyed God and grabbed that fruit and they ate it. And when they did, sin entered their lives. And like poison entering a stream that poisons everything downstream, sin has tainted every single one of us, generation after generation after generation. And the results of this sin in our lives, it separates, it messes up this relationship that God wants to have with us. It puts a distance between us. See, the Bible puts it this way, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 3:23, that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as a result of that sin, there's a penalty for it. And that penalty is death. He writes in Romans 6:23 that the penalty is death. It separates us from him. And not only a physical death, but a spiritual death. An eternal separation from him because of the sin problem we have. In practical terms, it's living in hell for eternity. Now, because we're made to be in relationship with God, we have this sense inside of us that we want this relationship to be better, to be fixed, to understand more, to even please God. And in efforts, you know, when you think about a marriage relationship or a relationship like we have with a brother or sister or husband and wife, and we do something wrong towards somebody else, We want to try to fix it, don't we? We may buy flowers. We may say, I'm sorry. We may do some extra work around the house. Just try to get that relationship back to where it used to be. Well, we do the same thing when it comes into relationship with God. We'll serve the needy and the poor. We'll give money to the church or those in need. We'll use our time and we'll serve. We'll help other people. Sometimes we think that if we go to a class or even be baptized, that somehow that fixes our relationship with God. Right? But that doesn't make it. See, what God's word says, that all of our righteous works are like filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64:6. There's nothing that we can do to fix our relationship with God. But left to our own devices, we are destined to spend eternity separated from Him. But the good news is that God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it says while we were still sinners, not after we got our act cleaned up, not after we gave enough money, not after we came to church enough, not after we were baptized. It said while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did that. He came to take on flesh, to walk this earth, to be crucified, as He spoke through the prophets, to take on the penalty of that sin for us. That He bore the brunt of God's wrath so that we could have our relationship restored. And that if we believe that He came to do that for us, that His sacrifice was sufficient, that we will have our relationship restored with Him. That's the importance of Jesus coming, dying, being buried, being resurrected, and ultimately ascending to the right hand of the Father in heaven, where He rules and reigns today, is our intercessor. And we can know with certainty through our faith only, through that, not through any works, not through baptism, not through CCD class, not through serving, not through anything else other than believing in the simple fact that God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son, to whoever shall believe in Him shall have eternal life. So you can know right now, without a doubt, with 100% certainty, that if you were to not wake up tomorrow morning, die in your sleep, that you would wake up in the presence of the Lord. That we can live with that hope and assurance today by believing that Jesus Christ came to die and pay the penalty for our sins so we can have a relationship restored with Him. That is the living testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what every one of the people that have been baptized, that are new members and are going on mission trips, all came to an individual realization of that important truth. And as Jana said, at the end of the day, God will have the final word. And you will stand before Him as an individual, not as part of a family, not with your friend group, but as an individual. And as a believer, you'll give an account of what you did with your life and you'll enjoy eternity in heaven. But if you haven't placed your trust in Christ, we know what Scripture says. And so what I want to do is I want to pray right now. For those that have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to ask you to thank God for that in prayer. Thank Him for rescuing you. Thank you that today you know that your eternity is secure in heaven. And if you haven't gotten to that place yet, I'm gonna ask God to work on your heart. He brought you here for a reason today, is to hear this truth. And I'm gonna pray that He moves in your heart as I pray, and that today is the day that you come home to Him. Because it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done. He is waiting there with His arms wide open because He loves you and He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the price, Father, that Your Son Jesus paid for us to live with hope, not only for eternity, but today, that we can live a life with passion and perseverance, to live a life that's honoring to you. And Father, for those that are sitting here this morning, that may be here just supporting a family member for a commissioning or a baptism, that don't know you personally, I pray that you move in their heart, Father, to let them know that you love them. That no matter where they have been, no matter what they have done, you have made them in your image and you desperately desire a relationship with them. Father, I pray that today's the day that they turn their life over to you and they repent of being the boss of their life and the sin that that reigns, and that they can come to you acknowledging that they can't do it on their own, that they cannot work their way to you, that only through faith in Jesus that they can have that relationship. Father, move in their hearts. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your son, Jesus. It's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.